Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for today comes from Luke 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be called holy to the Lord. And they came to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God. He said, Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Joseph and the child's mother were amazed at the things that were spoken about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, Listen carefully. This child is appointed for the rising and falling of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Anna, a prophetess, was there. She was the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow of 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, since she was worshiping with fasting and prayers night and day. Standing nearby at that very hour, she gave thanks to the Lord. She kept speaking about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had accomplished everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. The word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you think it would feel to be Joseph and Mary in this situation? Jesus' parents brought him to the temple for rites of purification, and they were presenting him to the Lord in Jerusalem. This was following the laws that say that the firstborn baby boy was supposed to be presented to the Lord. Tons of emotions must have been flowing as Joseph and Mary were here at the temple. Mary had just given birth to a baby, and not just a regular baby. This baby was the Son of God himself. They must have been tired from all the things that you have to do with a newborn, let alone thinking about what this child would do when he grew up. As they were there at the temple offering their sacrifices, a random man comes in and swoops up the newborn baby Jesus. The joy in his eyes, the words that he speaks, this was something special. But Mary and Joseph must have been confounded by this whole situation, and by his actions, maybe not understanding truly what was going on. After this, another woman in the temple started telling everybody what she had seen, telling everybody about this child that she had seen, and telling everyone that was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This must have been quite a confusing time for Joseph and Mary. But what was happening here was something wonderful. They were speaking their faith in the newborn Savior. Simeon and Anna were wonderful believers in their newborn King, and they just had to talk about it. They were basking in the glory of their Savior, and we too are to recognize our Savior, like Simeon, and rejoice in him, like Anna. Mary and Joseph came to the temple to present their newborn baby boy to the Lord. It is said that they had brought two small birds as a sacrifice. Typically, the sacrifice for this was a lamb, but Mary and Joseph were poor, so they brought two birds, which was an appropriate sacrifice for people of their financial situation. As they were here to make this presentation and sacrifice, we see Simeon come in. Luke says this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It was revealed to Simeon that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. It is not said how long that Simeon knew this, but this must have been a pretty eager expectation for Simeon to see the Christ himself. However, on this day, Simeon was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple courts. And when Simeon sees this child, he recognizes that this isn't just any regular baby. No, when Simeon sees Jesus, he takes him into his arms and says these words, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace, according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." Now that Simeon had seen his Savior face to face, he could now depart in peace, knowing that he had seen the Savior with his own eyes. These words that Simeon speaks here, known as the Nunc Dimittis, or also known as the Song of Simeon, are words that we ourselves say in church sometimes. In our old red hymnals, these words of the Song of Simeon were included in the common service, at the end of the common service. Today, these words are included in our new blue hymnals in the compline service. Just as Simeon saw his Savior, we too see our Savior with the words and sacraments that he gives to us. We too can now depart in peace, knowing that we have seen our Savior, and we are at true peace with God through his Son, Jesus. Not only did Simeon recognize the face of the Savior, he also recognized the Savior's purpose. Many people around Simeon thought that the Christ would be a mighty warrior who would come to destroy the Romans and their laws and restore Jerusalem to its glory that it once had. But Simeon saw the real reason for the newborn child. Jesus would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. Jesus came to be the world's Savior, cleansing the people from their sins and freeing the captives from their sin. But not only would Jesus bring light and glory, he would also bring a sword. After Simeon finishes these wonderful words of the Nunc Dimittis, he tells Mary directly something here. He says, "Listen carefully. This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Jesus would come to raise up the hearts of those who believed in him. Jesus would raise the hearts of those who believed in this newborn Christ child, this God made flesh. These people would be raised to eternity in heaven with the Father. However, he would be the downfall of those who did not believe in him. Those who expected a king or a mighty warrior to come destroy Rome, these people expected someone who looked the part. They expected this mighty warrior to crush their enemies and make a kingdom here on earth. Except Jesus did not come to make a kingdom here on earth. He came to free the captives of the sins that they had committed, not free the captives from their jail cells of the Romans. God's own Christ was for everyone, and those who did not believe in him would be condemned. Simeon also tells Mary that a sword would pierce her own soul. This newborn baby had a purpose that would be hard on any mother. This baby, Jesus, was born to die a terrible death on the cross and take on the sins of all people. Although it is said that Mary and Joseph brought two birds for their sacrifice, Mary also did bring a lamb for sacrifice, her own baby boy. How often do we want Jesus to look the part? It seems like these days we really want someone that looks the part of a king, that looks the part of a savior. We know that Jesus can do everything, and sometimes we want Jesus to do everything according to our own wills. We just think, why can't Jesus do these things for my plans? Jesus, why can't you take away the sickness that I have? Jesus, why can't you crush all my enemies right now? Jesus, why can't you make my life perfect, and why can't you do it immediately? Sometimes we wrongfully look to Christ as a genie that is supposed to grant our every wish according to our will whenever we want it. We don't look at Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who has a perfect will. A perfect will that surpasses all of our understanding. I mean, look at Jesus' own life. He could have had a life that was free and easy. He could have lived a life without pain, suffering, and troubles. He's God himself. He can do whatever he pleases. But look how Jesus lived. He lived a life of sorrow here on this earth. So it's no surprise that his followers lived this same life of sorrow with rejection. Our Savior is not the Savior that we expect. He does not grant our every wish as we see fit, and that's a good thing. Our sinful hearts and minds do not always make the best decisions, and we know that all too well. Our salvation does not depend on anything that we do. Thankfully, it depends on everything that our Savior has done for us. Our salvation does not depend on our own doing. Our salvation is the way of the cross. We bear our crosses here on earth, knowing that Christ bore the ultimate cross on Calvary. Our lives as Christians may be hard here on earth, but we know that this earth is not our home. We know that our home is in heaven, a place that is personally prepared for us by Jesus himself. And although we have to wait, we know that our Lord will come back and bring us home. Someone who knew all too well about waiting was this woman that we read about from our text, Anna. Anna was a woman who lived in the temple, and she fasted and prayed day after day, waiting for some sort of peace to come to her. We see that Anna was 84 years old. Her husband had died after they were only married for 7 years, so we can assume that Anna was here in this temple doing these things day after day after day for a long time. She prayed and prayed, waiting for this peace to come. This day-to-day routine must have seemed like forever to find this peace that Anna was waiting for. Like Anna, we pray and we wait for things. Sometimes we wait for what seems like forever. In a day like today, in these times where we can order something with just a click of a button, with same-day delivery, we want our prayers to be answered immediately. We want those sicknesses cured. We want those temptations taken away. We want our lives to be perfect, and we want it right now. We want these things answered with instant gratification. Even if these things were immediately granted by our Lord, we know that they wouldn't last forever. We know that those sicknesses are cured, but then they're replaced with other sicknesses. We know that those temptations may leave, but we know different temptations come in their place. We know that our lives will never be truly perfect in this world of sin. Thankfully, Anna shows us where true peace comes from. Anna heard these joyful words of Simeon, and we read that she gave thanks to the Lord. She kept speaking about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Our reading for today from Colossians 3 also reflects this same peace that Anna had, saying, "Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful." Our peace is not found in things of this world. No, our peace comes from our Savior. And we thank our Lord every day for this peace that he has given us. This true peace in our hearts can only be found through our perfect Savior Jesus. Because of his life and death and resurrection, because he has taken away our sins and makes us right with God. We rejoice with hearts of faith, telling others what we had seen, just like Anna told others what she had seen. We encourage one another, and we thank our God for sending his Son to become one of us, to die in our place and take away all of our sins once and for all. We bask in the glory of the Lord, and we marvel at everything that he has done for us. We rejoice in our newborn King, knowing that he is not the King we expect or deserve, but he is the perfect Lamb of God who died on the cross for us. We carry our crosses, and as Paul writes in Colossians, in everything we do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.